Well, Dr. Stan here, I got so busy talking, I just forgot we were going up in the news, and all of a sudden I'm talking, there's no sound coming through, and I suddenly realized we had the station break. So forgive me out there in the listening audience, sometimes we do get so involved in what we're doing. If you're out there in the listening audience and would like to give us a call, our telephone number, 464-8295, or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're out across America and listening to us on the internet, we'd love to hear from you. In fact, if you are the first person to call in, why, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of two books, either The Demonic Side of Globalism or a copy of the book, The New Gods for a New Age. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you are out there listening, we'd love to hear from you. But right now, our guest this evening is Barbie Hall, who is the president of the local Eagle Forum chapter, and she's talking about Phyllis Schlafly's book, A Choice, Not an Echo, and of course, we've gone beyond that into what Phyllis has said in some of her later talks, actually one of her most recent talks, about how the kingmakers have continued to control the electoral process here in the United States, making mockery out of this concept that we are a representative government. And so why don't you pick it up from there, Barbie?
Well, I'm going to jump right into 1988, so we can come up to speed to 96. And although Jack Kemp was the obvious conservative successor to Reagan, conservatives again were divided. So many thought that George Bush had done his time and it was now his turn. And I like Phyllis calls this the cult of incumbency. And we say, where is it written, Republican Stone, that we have to nominate the candidate who waited in line the longest? But Republicans seem to do that.
I want to mention to Phil, who's in the other room there, that we have a caller on line one. We just lost the caller on line one. But
uh-oh.
Go ahead.
They'll come back.
I hope that they do. If you're out there in the listening audience, why, Phil will be back very shortly to pick up your call.
Well, once again, a moderate made promises to conservatives, and with the exception of his pro-life stance, Bush backed away from conservatives and broke promises, the biggest being the Read My Lips slogan that later cost him his re-election. And I'm sure you remember that, Stan. It's hard to forget that. And we have to remember that George Bush proclaimed the New World Order, and he revamped the then-discredited United Nations. And Clinton is making it even more powerful to this day. The normal Joes on the street were so disenchanted with politics and George Bush that he was beaten by a lukewarm voter turnout and a candidate steeped in controversy.
Well, of course, the one reason that Bill Clinton won was because the media never told the truth about him.
That's
they never
right.
went into his cocaine use. They had the tapes of the conversations that Jennifer Flowers mm-hmm. had actually recorded where Bill Clinton is saying to her, don't tell anybody about our affair. With anybody asks you, lie. And, of course, these were these same tapes where he insulted Governor Cuomo. But the media had access to those. They never brought any of these things out. And of course, I think that it's amazing how George Bush had such a high rating at the time of the Gulf War, and yet, of course, he lost all of that because people, once they began to think about how he had lied to them,
right.
And of course, there was just no way you could build him up. He was never a sincere individual.
Not at all. And after his defeat, we had to hear the establishment, with the help of the media, once again blame the defeat on conservatives, insisting on the false notion that America no longer wanted or even supported conservative views or candidates, and we know that's not true.
Absolutely.
We know that Americans are conservative.
And everybody wants their freedom, and most people do not want to give up nationhood, and that's why
right.
in 1996 it was really so vitally important that they did not allow Pat Buchanan to run, and
yes.
and why both the liberal and conservative branches of the establishment-controlled media attacked him, and I'm talking about the Wall Street Journal,
right.
The so-called conservative National Review, the so-called conservative American Spectator. They all simply mirrored the line put out by, the New York Times and the Washington Post, all controlled by the same people.
Mm-hmm. And let's go ahead and talk about 96, because the grassroots conservative, again, were divided. Are we noticing a theme here?
Right.
And Colin Powell was the kingmaker's perfect candidate. And I remember my Christian neighbors thinking, oh, this man is so wonderful.
Right.
And he blew it. He was not a real politician because he came out, and unbeknownst to his kingmaker buddies, or he might have been hanging around them a little too much, he identified himself as pro-choice, pro-affirmative action, and a Rockefeller Republican. Well, he didn't realize that the term Rockefeller, moderate, establishment Republican sends shivers down the spine of the normal American conservative. We
right,
know what that means.
It sure should. Even a lot of the Democrats don't like that.
Exactly. A moderate is really a liberal.
Right.
Well, Powell didn't really want to run. And so the government lifer, our friend Bob Dole, was the obvious next-in-line choice for the establishment. Here we have the cult of incumbency again.
But, you know, the thing is that Pat Buchanan really captured the imagination of an awful lot of Americans. And, you know, the thing is he's sort of a very aggressive individual. But the things that he expressed, his pro-life position, his America First position, a strong defense for America, but there was nothing that he could say that they wouldn't twist and distort and alter in an effort to destroy his candidacy. And then when we find many of the major so-called Christian organizations mobilizing the gullible Christians in the South against him, why, that's really, you begin to see how dangerous some of our own organizations, or supposedly our own organizations, are.
Hot water.
And of course, what happened is, you know, Pat Buchanan made a, you know, I think he won the New Hampshire primary.
He had 100 votes there, 100 delegates.
Right,
there.
And of course he, you know, was beginning to make inroads all across America. He was a candidate people could get excited about, as they had about Barry Goldwater, and the establishment wasn't going to let that happen again. And so they turned on their big guns, and when they got the Christian Coalition and many of the other organizations, which I regret to say, really are not very principled. They sound very good, but all you need to do is see what some of their leaders are doing. Then, of course, they managed to undercut him. And when the Big Friday came, or Big Tuesday, I guess it was, and there were five major elections in the South, and, of course, with a Christian coalition against him, Pat Buchanan really didn't stand a chance.
Not at all. And I want to tell you some things about Bob Dole that I'm sure you know, that I'm sure some of our listeners don't, that his foreign policies were basically the same as Clinton's, and he refused to make an issue of the social and moral topics that the establishment detests and don't want to touch. And even his record speaks for itself. He was always for bigger government control. Let's give some examples. GAFT, NAFTA, Mexican bailout. He supported Caffey's health bill, which was nicknamed Hillary Light by those in the Senate. And, of course, he true to moderate form after the primaries, he dropped these Christian groups, National Right to Life and Christian Coalition, like a hot potato. He didn't want to get anywhere near them anymore after he won by their support. And he even promised his pro-abortion friends that he would get rid or water down the Republican pro-life plank in the platform, which would have been a disaster because it's the only national pro-life platform that we have. And if we lost it, we'd set back the pro-life movement, terribly so.
Well, of course, you know that the platform was really written in large part by Phyllis Schlafly.
Oh, definitely.
And, of course, Phyllis and Ralph Reed, and there were two others, Gary Bauer, and I've forgotten
Buchanan. The
Mm-hmm. And was that Babe Buchanan? Those four people wrote the Republican platform, and the platform was great. The only trouble was that the Republican candidate wouldn't run on
That's
the Republican
right.
platform because Bob Dole didn't believe in Republican
That's
principles.
Right. Dr. Sand, he even said, I've got a quote here, I haven't read it, and I'm not bound by it anyway, close quote.
Boy, that really gets a lot of people really, really solidly behind that candidate.
But what angers me is this didn't trickle down to the grassroots. You know what? I had never heard any of this. Never heard an iota of this until I heard Phyllis talk about it.
I know. Well, this is pretty well known. If you, I mean, this is the sort of thing you'd get out of Human Events magazine.
Right.
Human Events is, incidentally, an excellent source of information. I think probably the best weekly newspaper
really?
We have coming out.
Well, that's a good
that
tip.
And the Washington Times are the two best sources of information, of course, in New American, Free American, Media Bypass. Media Bypass is coming back with some pretty good material, but those first two or three I mentioned, the New American, the Washington Times, and Human Events, are the three best. None of them perfect. None of them are going to tell you the whole story, because each one has their own agenda, but they're certainly by far the best that you can find.
And I appreciate you getting that information out to us. So anyways, by his own words, Dole proved that he was not a conservative. He's never been a conservative. And that's why the moral and character issues were never raised in the campaign, because he didn't believe in them.
Sure. Well, of course, you know, the thing is that George Bush, although throwing bones to the pro-life people, George Bush was not pro-life. He was playing the political game.
Right.
And I shall never forget in 1992 going to a meeting, I think it was in Texas, where George Bush was the speaker, and I had a little table. I was selling my book on the AIDS epidemic at that time, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. There were probably about 500 or 750 hardline Christian activists there, and I'll never forget sitting up in a special area of the big auditorium there, because they didn't pack the place out at all, and hearing, watching George Bush say all the right things, but I was watching Barbara Bush. And, of course, she was violently pro-choice. She was pro-abortion.
I know that.
And, of course, you know, but she was trying to play the part of the dutiful wife, and she would applaud at all the proper times. But any time he'd say something pro-life, she'd just sit there stoically. Now, what people don't understand is that George Bush was always pro-abortion until they tried to box him or to package him as the bar of soap with the pro-life label, which they did in 1980. And, of course, he went along with that to give the suckers the idea that we had a candidate. We had a candidate that was on our side. George Bush was never on our side. He was always on the internationalist side. He was always the agent of the internationalists and, of course, of the Rockefeller family.
Well, it's surprising that we got Clarence Thomas out of him.
Yes,
isn't
it is.
It?
Yes, it really is. I think that, but of course, they always give us. It's sort of like the idea that when you go and you play the slot machines, you almost get it each time, and that keeps the suckers coming back.
I mean,
you get three cherries, and you need four. Or you get, you get a little something that keeps you playing the game. And so that they always put one or two on the Supreme Court, but never enough so that we can turn the clock back towards a limited government, towards a situation where we adhere to the Bill of Rights and we restrict the power of the federal government, and we begin to challenge this idea of a wall of separation between church and state.
Amen.
Which is non-existent and was created in 1962 because they packed the Supreme Court with judges who had a political agenda, and that was to destroy the Christian foundations of this once great nation.
There are so many regular Joes out there, just like me, that did not know that is not in the Constitution. Nowhere in the Constitution is separation of church and state.
Amen.
Yeah.
But most people have never read the Bill of Rights.
I know.
And intelligent people, when you ask them the question, where does the wall of separation of church and state come from, have no idea.
No.
Or they'll tell you it came from the First Amendment.
Right.
Without realizing that this had nothing to do with our Constitution.
Right.
Basically, the idea actually came out of the Soviet Constitution. And there they talked about how important it was to have the church separated from the state and the state from the people, the state separated from the church and the church from the people.
And it's only because I've homeschooled my children that I've read the Constitution, Dr. Stan. Well, I got to tell you, there was one good outcome of the 96 campaign, and that is the middle of the road, the big tent, the feel good, and the Republican Party ran it. They ran the campaign, they ran the convention, and so the loss could not be pinned on the conservatives. And do you remember in the last days of Dole's campaign, who was in all his photo ops? Establishment faces.
Right.
George Bush, George Shultz, Colin Powell. I mean, it was crazy. The convention was so tightly controlled that, I know you remember this, no conservatives were allowed to participate, none were allowed to talk. They weren't even allowed to vote for Pat Buchanan, let alone even allow him to speak at the convention. It was incredibly tightly controlled.
Well, you know what's really so interesting today is that the Republican National Party. Now, the Republican National Party is made up of two representatives from every from every state, and so we have representatives from California, our own Tim Morgan and Barbara Albee, both staunch conservatives. And apparently, the Republican National Party across the nation is staunchly conservative.
That's what
it's
I've
just
read.
That its leader is not, and many times he will try to do things with the total opposition of the duly elected representatives.
Yeah.
And this is, of course, another example of how this man has been obviously bought and paid for. Supposedly he was sold as a conservative, and yet he is simply compromising his principles. And, you know, what I tell people, they ask me, you know, what should I do? I say one thing is don't give any money to the Republican Party.
Right.
If you want to give it to your local central committee, put your money aside and invest it in individual Republican candidates who you believe in, like Tom Bordenaro, who's running down in the South. I can say that.
And
I can endorse
Barbara.
Him because this program is not extending down into down in the Santa Barbara area. We had him on Monday on our afternoon program. He did a magnificent job. If I'd written his talk, it couldn't have been more pro-American, pro-Constitution.
Right.
He brought up all the right issues and hope. And if you're out there in the listening audience, pray for Tom Bordenaro and pray for his getting through the primary against Firestone. And then he has an excellent chance of getting that election. And we... Every conservative congressman we can get back in Washington, D.C. is one more step along the way towards taking America back.
That's right. And so as long as we're looking in the future, let's look to 2000.
Right.
Since the victory of Bush, the establishment has controlled the conventions of 88, 92, 96. And you know what? They're going to try and control 2000. But we've controlled it before. The grassroots have controlled it before. We've controlled the campaign before. And if we get united behind one nominee, and I think that's what we need to do, we need, the establishment seems to successfully do that. Why can't the conservatives do it? We need to get behind one nominee and we can do it again.
Well, but you see, the problem is, who is the nominee going to be?
Right.
And of course, if you try to run a candidate, they'll give him the conspiracy of silence. And there have been many, many good men who've wanted to run for political office, and they've even run sometimes on other party tickets, and they can't even get mentioned that they're running for political office. In fact, during the 1992 elections, when Colonel Bo Greitz was running for the presidency, and he went up to Ruby Ridge to actually save the life of Randy Weaver and his family, because the government was intended to kill them all. And he saved their lives, and yet it was never mentioned that he was, at that time, was a presidential candidate running on American Party ticket. They totally blacked out his candidacy. How do you do that? Why are you buy and pay for the media, just exactly as down in the Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo area. None of the television stations will sell Gary Bauer television time. Why? Because they don't want that message brought out.
And that's why talk radio is so powerful. And that's why we have to continue to pray and work for its freedom so that the liberal media doesn't shut it down, because they hate talk radio, because they know the truth is coming out of it.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number here, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And, of course, what we need are good people to run for political office, and not only for the presidency, although we do need to have a responsible person in the presidency, but right now, of course, we need responsible people running for Congress. And you know what? We had Helen Chenoweth on last Monday.
Great.
What an exciting interview that was. What a person who, you know, you just, your heart goes out to her. She stands up on the issues. In fact, we played her my interview with her on our Saturday program that goes out all across America to 13 stations. But she talks about the Constitution. She talks about the fact the executive branch of government is usurping power and passing laws without the consent of Congress and then stealing money from various other appropriations to push things like the American Heritage Rivers Act and other illegal things that they're doing. Totally violation of the Constitution, and yet the Republican leadership refuses to take action against him.
That's true. Well, can I spend some time into talking a little more in depth about the Kingmakers?
You go right ahead.
I don't know if people are wondering, in all these major campaigns that were Republicans maneuvering into nominating candidates who did not campaign on the issues, I mean, was it an accident? Well, you and I both know it wasn't an accident. It was planned that way. And in each of the losing presidential years, once again, what Phyllis calls the kingmakers used hidden persuaders, the liberal media, we love them so much, and popular culture to successfully manipulate the Republican convention to nominate candidates who sidestepped or suppressed the key moral issues. The kingmakers and their propaganda apparatus have launched a series of false slogans, I want to get into this a little bit, that are designed to mask the failures of their candidates to debate the major issues that would expose these underlying personal agendas. One example is foreign policy should be bipartisan. That's don't you think that's an entry word into one world government?
Of course it is.
Let's all get along.
Right. Well, I think the idea of bipartisan foreign policy really means that we're both pushing towards one world government.
That's right.
But we don't want the American people to know that, so we're going to use this nice catchphrase, bipartisan foreign policy, which really means it doesn't make a difference which party is in power, because they're both going to push to destroy American national sovereignty.
Right. And how about Dole using, do you want the extreme, which we know he didn't say the word, but we knew it was Pat, or the mainstream, who was Dole? I mean, that's crazy.
But you see that the term extremist is a standard establishment propaganda,
definitely,
thought control word, and when you label somebody as extremist, they are put into a totally defensive position.
That's right.
And if you don't have the opportunity to come back again, and of course, what you do, you know, it's like when somebody accuses you of being anti-Semitic.
Right.
I mean, you immediately are on the defensive. And of course, if you can come back and know how to defend yourself against that, you're certainly capable of doing that. But if you don't have a platform, then of course you have been labeled, and people say, well, you know, if everybody's saying he's anti-Semitic, maybe he really is.
That's true. And the kingmakers have become partners with the Democrats, who have everything to gain and nothing to lose if Republicans put up a milquetoast campaign. And this is one of the favorite tricks of Democrats. It's to get Republicans to pass over their strongest candidates, like Phil Graham, Pat Buchanan, Ronald Reagan, and nominate a candidate who's easy to beat, like Ford, Bush, or Dole. And I want to give you another little history lesson here. In 1948, Harold Ickes Sr., now we'll recognize that name because Harold Ickes Jr. was Clinton's latest political scapegoat, that another one of his guys have gone down. And his father worked for FDR. I don't know if people know that. But responding to the Dewey nomination in 48, he said, and I quote, "With the bases loaded, the Republicans sent to the plate their bat boy. They could have sent in their Babe Ruth, Bob Taft." And this has happened time and time again when we have compromised for the Me Too candidate. So the question for Republicans, I'm calling out to Republicans now, is are we going to send out a bat boy, or are we going to look hard for a Babe Ruth and pray for a Babe Ruth, a man that is not afraid to debate the issues and stand up for conservative values and principles? And now I want to take you back a little bit and tell you just a little bit more about these powerful men that concocted these long-range plans to control the party.
All right, who are they, and what's their objective and goal?
It started back in New York at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in 1936. And These are people who, like you mentioned, it was Lamont and people from the J.P. Morgan banking establishment, and Alfred P. Sloan of General Motors, and five other prominent financiers and industrialists. They were all present at this meeting. And the initial purpose of this group was to consider a possible Republican candidate to run against FDR. And I have an actual quote by Dr. Glenn Frank, the president of the University of Wisconsin, who recalled that these men spoke as if they had the power to decide who the Republican nominee for president would be. And what was happening is the Midwest was calling for representation. And the Eastern elite decided, since there wasn't any chance of beating FDR, they would throw the Corn Belt a bone, which was Governor Landon of Kansas. And we know that Landon was a New Deal supporter anyway, so the Kingmakers didn't have anything in jeopardy, no matter who they supported.
But, of course, FDR was really going along with their programs for socialism. And I think one of the hardest things for the average individual to understand is that people of great wealth push socialism. Why?
I don't understand that.
You don't understand that? Define socialism for me.
Well, it's control.
Of course it's control. And of course, Karl Marx said socialism is a means from each according to his ability to each according to their need. And it was a vehicle of redistribution of wealth. But in the Communist Manifesto, he called for the establishment of the dictatorship of the proletariat as a transitory stage or as a transition stage to this wonderful utopia that would occur when the state withered away. The truth of the matter was, he didn't believe in any of this. He didn't even believe socialism would ever work, but he realized it was a means of destroying a Judeo-Christian culture, because although he himself was Jewish, he hated Judaism as he hated Christianity, because he was basically a Satanist. And the leading socialists of the mid-1800s were Proudhon and Bakunin, were all basically deeply involved in the occult. So socialism is basically a means of centralizing all power with government. And, of course, somebody has to be in charge, and it will always be the people of great wealth, because sooner or later governments are always taken over by people who want power and who can have more power than those that can buy and sell politicians and can control the media. Socialism was simply a vehicle for destroying the roots of our republic, the foundations of our freedom, and replacing our liberty with a corporate socialist state. And that's why people of great wealth have always pushed for socialism here in the United States. Not every one of them, but many of the men that generations past were referred to as the robber barons. I'm talking about Andrew Carnegie. I'm talking about Rockefeller. These people have been pushing socialism, and the trouble is that most of our socialists today are too dumb to understand who's been financing their movements. And of course, that was the beauty of Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. We pointed out that Thomas Lamont, who was the senior partner in J.P. Morgan, and the man you were just talking about, Thomas Lamont had actually been financing the Communist Party, and through his son, Corliss Lamont, had been the major influence and manipulator of the Communist Party in the United States in the 20s, 30s, and 40s.
Well, it's just like the pro-abortion forces don't even realize that Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger, was a racist. And was in pretty much in cahoots with Hitler, and those are the people that condemn that part of our history the loudest.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number out there is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're out there in the listening audience and like to call in, Phil is on the board right now, and he has a little sorry up there for the last one. So, he's already been forgiven. Our telephone number, 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you have a question or comment, maybe you're a socialist out there and you really believe that socialism has something to do with taking from the rich and giving to the poor. Basically, it's a means of pauperizing the middle class to buy support from all segments of society until the state becomes all-powerful powerful, a dictatorship is established, and of course all freedom is lost. That is the history of socialism, and that is what's going on in our society today. And of course in America today we have welfare for the wealthy, we have welfare for the international corporations, we have welfare for the poor, for the doctors, for the universities, we've got welfare for the farmers, for the industrialists, we got welfare for everybody, and everybody's getting money from government. Isn't that wonderful? But of course government has no money other than what it takes from you and I by force to give to others. And as the WAG said, anybody who can take from Peter to give to Paul can always depend upon Paul's vote. And that's what it's about.
Also, Dr. Stan, I want to share with you something that Phyllis said about pro-lifers. Have you ever wondered why so-called moderates and establishment hate us so much?
Why?
She said it's not that establishment moderates love abortion so much. They hate pro-lifers because they can't be bought. And they don't understand people who aren't manipulated by money. Isn't that true?
I think that's a very astute observation. We're going to be back here in just a moment here on Radio Liberty and back with Barbie Hall. So don't even think about changing that dial. Listener-supported, and if you agree with our message and would like to help us, we'd love to hear from you. As you know, why we have 17 stations now. We're on the Internet. We're on shortwave. We have an opportunity to reach people all across the country. We have tape ministries going out. We are able to distribute books across America. We have large numbers of people in certain areas listening to us, but of course it all takes money. And of course we are family supported. My wife and my son and myself and a few of our friends who come up here regularly to help us, but we do need financial help. We'd like to become self-supporting this year, and at that point we'll begin to expand our ministry even further. So if you'd like to give us a hand, and we really would appreciate it, our telephone number is 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And of course, you can join the Radio Liberty family of supporters for a gift of $20 or more a month. And of course, we'll be able then, if you know, we get four or five supporters, then we can take on another new radio station somewhere in America. But right now, of course, we need to get to the point where we are really not putting out more than we're taking in. You can't do that indefinitely. And so if you'd like to come and become part of our family, why, call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And if you, for a gift of $20 or more a month, why, we send you our four very best tapes of the month. We encourage you to copy those tapes and lend them to people. Never give anybody a tape because you're never going to get it back again. But lend it to them and tell them you need it back in a couple of weeks. But and we have so many fascinating tapes, and we know our tapes are circulating in Europe. They're circulating certainly in once in a while we get a letter from Australia or some other country within the English-speaking confines, and people have gotten our material in South Africa. I know we send some material down there on a regular basis. So when you become part of our family, you become part of our effort. If we can't do it alone, we're depending on you. And if you feel that you'd like to be part of what we're doing, and you are sort of frustrated, I mean, what can you do? Well, here's something you can do to help us, because we have an opportunity to reach people all across America. And so remember that telephone number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are at war. America, our values, our way of life are under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Barbie Hall, who is the president of the local Eagle Forum. And Barbie, if people wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Well, they could drop me a line at P.O. Box 8, Mount Hermon, that's H-E-R-M-O-N, California, 95041. Or they can get me on the Internet at kkzhall@aol.com. Or If they want to call your station, I'd be happy to allow you afterwards to give out my own personal phone number.
All right. If somebody wants to reach Barbie and would like to get involved with her in the local Eagle Forum chapter, you can call here and we'll give you her personal number. We're not going to put that out over the air. We don't want to get all those hate-filled calls. But
yeah.
There really are, I'm sure, some people out there who might very well like to be involved with her.
Definitely.
And Barbie is a wonderful person who loves the Lord. And we're talking this evening about the kingmakers who really have controlled both political parties, not just the Republican Party, but both political parties, and give us the choice of candidate A, socialist candidate A, or socialist candidate B. Take your choice. It's a free country. And, of course, they've made mockery of the whole concept of representative government. And, of course, they buy and sell congressmen and senators as well. And what we need, of course, are men of principle who will go back to Washington, D.C. and stand for what's right. We have at least 50 of them right now, and we need to multiply that number 4 or 5 times over if we're going to begin to take America back and preserve our freedom. Give us a call if you have a question at 464-8295. That's 464-TAX-L or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. And Barbie will sure be glad to give you answers, from the book, The Choice Not an Echo. Or, Barbie, what else has Phyllis actually told you in these various programs, these various travels you've had with her?
Well, once I asked her this question after I read the book, I said, why should we care about this group of kingmakers? A lot of people say people are in the conspiracy, and, I don't want to know that. And I'm sure you've heard these people say this to you, but we've got to remember that not only do we need to be educated about this, but this group holds several important lessons for us today. It proves that there do, in fact, exist secret, powerful groups with negative agendas. We can't stick our head in the sand like ostriches and pretend they're not there. Not only are there the kingmakers, but we have another, I believe they're more wide world spread, the Bilderbergers, which I'm sure you know reams about, Dr. Stan. The meeting that was on St. Simon's Island in Georgia, where eyewitnesses said of this meeting that those who came were not heads of state, but were those who gave orders to heads of state.
Right.
And these meetings are heavily weighted in favor of the liberal foreign viewpoint, loaded with Americans who have extensive big bucks, business investments abroad. We know that Republicans are in a small minority, but they're of the Me Too liberal variety. We know that top-level Me Too Republicans have close social, business, and political working relationships with top-level liberal Democrats. Can you name some off the top of your head?
No.
Yeah.
Name what specifically?
Well, the Republicans that are good buddies with liberal Democrats and hang out with them all the time.
How about Newt Gingrich?
That's right. That's what I was hoping you'd say.
I mean, certainly Newt is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
That's right.
He's deeply involved with the New Age. He's a disciple of Heidi and Alvin Toffler. He says the right things, does the wrong things. He has been created by the media. And if you really listen to Newt very, very carefully,
right,
you realize that he believes in world government. He believes in the all-powerful state. In fact, he gave a speech within the last few days talking about how we had to have the federal government go around, try to identify the bad schools, and begin to replace those principals who are not doing a good job. Could you imagine anything more frightening than the Fed cops coming around to schools and trying to determine who was doing a good job and who was doing a bad job?
Crazy.
When in Washington, D.C. today, which is under the direct control of the federal government, they have the highest crime rate, the highest HIV
mm-hmm.
rate, the highest murder rate in the entire nation. And if they can't even manage Washington, D.C., what makes anybody think that they could manage things across the rest of America?
I agree. And you know what else concerns me is they work towards a conversion between Democrat and Republican parties. And this sounds once again like one world government to me, this bipartisan lie. And I just want to read a quote of Phyllis's. And she writes, "America is best served when the two great political parties compete with one another to the fullest possible extent consistent with ethical conduct. It was in this form of vigorous political debate that the U.S. Constitution was hammered out by the founding fathers, and Abraham Lincoln rose to greatness from the platform of hard-hitting partisan debates with Stephen A. Douglas over issues that were just as important to our country's survival as any today. And I agree 100% with that.
Well, of course, the thing is that they really don't want any dissent. They don't want the American people to know until they have consolidated their power and merged us into this one world system. And I have this wonderful article written by David Rockefeller in the Wall Street Journal talking about the importance of NAFTA. And his remark was, we've got to get NAFTA through. We've been waiting for 500 years. And I thought to myself, wow. David, I knew you were old, but I didn't know you were that old. But what he was really talking about is this worldwide dream of unifying the world. And, of course, David Rockefeller was simply a modern-day extension of this whole move by these elitists who would rule the world. This was the dream that Nimrod had in ages past. And the pharaohs wanted to do the same thing, and the Assyrian leaders, and Alexander the Great, and Plato wrote about this in his Republic. And we see down through the ages, even in modern times, when we've had men like Adolf Hitler and Stalin and Chairman Mao, they all wanted to rule the world. And, of course, this is what it's really all about, is uniting the world under common rule. And, of course, if we look at it from the point of view of simply politics, we say this is an idea that is not going to work. We've never been able to have a world government. If you look at it from the religious point of view, from the spiritual point of view, you'll understand we're really talking about the imposition of a world government under the rule of the Antichrist.
Right.
And this is what energizes so many of the people on the other side. Now, not all of them. A lot of them are simply idealists, head in the clouds, utopians. But at the very core center of this whole movement towards world government are people who've given themselves over to the dark side.
That's true. Amen. We should be aware of these kingmaker agents because they're easy to spot. They move in and out of both parties with very much ease, and they are named at top positions by both parties. And I'm thinking of David Gergen, Dick Morris. How about what we just saw on the news a couple weeks ago with the Doles in Bosnia with the Clintons?
Sure, and of course, everybody should remember that Leon Panetta used to be a Republican.
Yes.
And of course, yeah, then he's the chief of staff of the Democratic White House. And so, party really means nothing. It is what your philosophy is,
right,
what you believe in, how you relate to the idea of individual liberty, and really a lot of that has to do with how they relate to God. And of course, I think the height of hypocrisy is when we see Al Gore going to church, going to a Christian church. When if you read his book, Earth in the Balance, you realize he is deeply committed to the New Age and the occult and to the worship of Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. So we ask, why was Phyllis's book written? What was she trying to get apart across to people? And I think this is some of what she was trying to do. Number one, we cannot accept compromise in the 2000 nominee. And we need to begin, this is my own little addendum, we need to begin praying that God would raise someone up that is worthy and will not sacrifice principles. We have to understand that, thankfully, there are still portions of the Republican Party that can't be bought, some of the grassroots people that are involved, and that's a good thing. We also need to remember that when we support fake conservatives, we get burnt, and we can go back to remembering what Bob Dole did to the Christian Coalition and also the National Right to Life. And we need to work for good government. Dr. Stan, I have friends who ask me all the time, why have you stayed in politics so long? And that's because I have to believe in the country I love. I have to not give up. I have to believe that if I give up, with my friends who are working so tirelessly at give up, we are going to create a vacuum. And we know who's going to step into that vacuum. And it's not going to be good.
Well, what do you say to your friends that say, why have you stayed with politics so long?
because I
mean, what do you say? Why don't you ask them? Why aren't you involved? I mean, I have to do it because people like you are simply resigning your responsibility to be involved in this system of government. How can we maintain our freedom if good people aren't involved? What are you doing to try to preserve this freedom that you inherited, or do you care about it?
That's a good point.
Right.
Yeah. And we also need to work for candidates who will speak to the issues. I think we need to get smart. We need to, and we also need to stop backbiting one another. We need to stop dividing our power up like we did in 1996. We need to get unified behind one candidate that will hopefully stand up. And I think we also need to go back to Reagan's four-part platform. We don't necessarily have to call it Reagan's platform, but I think it's a wise platform. Being pro-life, personal responsibility, strong defense, and cutting taxes. Each one of these points is a strong coalition builder. It's a possibility for making a strong coalition and bringing a lot of votes in. And then I think we shouldn't be bitter about defeat. This is a quote from Phyllis. We don't blame the candidate who fought hard and lost. We do blame one who refused to speak to the issue and is disloyal to the hard-working precinct workers, close quote. And that's true. We can't get bitter in the fight. If we get bitter, we get angry and we give up. And that's definitely not something we need to do. Because once again, that vacuum is created and we know the kind of people that will step in. We will not lose if we nominate a conservative. I have to believe in that until my dying day. I refuse to give up on that. I refuse to quit. If we nominate a Me Too candidate, establishment candidate that toes the liberal line like Ford, Bush, and Dole, we will continue to lose. And all the party loyalty among the grassroots will not help us. You know, I've heard many people say, well, whatever Reagan's 11th commandment, don't speak ill about another Republican. I think if we have a candidate that's running, that's not running on principle, and we know he's not going to speak to the issues, and if he's going to lack truth, then we need to reject them. They're moderates.
You're absolutely right, and I think that idea that, well, it doesn't matter as long as he's a Republican, we've got to back him, is entirely wrong. Just as exactly if you have a corrupt Democratic politician, you ought to, if you're a Democrat out there, you ought to reject him as well. We have to stand for men of integrity, and if we don't have men of integrity in government, then we're going to lose our government. That's what it's all about.
That's true. We also need to discuss the vital issues, to insist that our voices and our choices are heard and not be mowed down by that big tent lie. It's just frustrating to me when people come in and give that big tent philosophy, which is we got to let everyone come into the Republican Party. Well, what happens is everyone comes into the Republican Party, but the conservatives are not allowed to speak. And that's what happened at the 96th convention.
The Republicans make up the vast majority of the Republican Party. So this big tent is simply a lie justify the liberal takeover of the Republican Party again. And until we've got people who are willing to stand against that, and that's one of the great lies that Newt Gingrich talks about, is the big tent. I mean, people can come into our tent if they agree with us, and if they don't, let them go wherever they want to.
That's true.
But if the Republicans back a liberal in the year 2000, I'm not going to support them, and I'm going to encourage everybody else not to support them. And I really am sorry I supported Bob Dole in 1996. And I think if we don't learn from these past mistakes, we keep making them, then we deserve to lose our freedom.
Amen, Stan. My mom and dad took my 7-year-old. Who was 6 then, for 9 days, so I could sit down at that headquarters and work. And when I found out all this information, I felt violated by the Republican Party. I felt I was sold a bill of goods.
Well, I think we were all sold a bill of goods, but I think we have to get older and wiser, and hopefully we have enough people out there who've learned this. And we need to get this message to Phyllis out, and this book really needs to be reprinted and circulated so people can really understand how it all fits together.
And I want to just, we're getting to towards closing, so I just want to leave you with one or two things here if I have time.
You sure do. You got all the time in the world.
Good.
You've got 11 minutes anyway.
Excellent. When the disinterested observer points out that the Kingmaker Me Too Republican candidate will probably go down to defeat, their attitude will be like the old-time Philadelphia political boss who, when told his candidate cannot win and would wreck the party, replied, "Oh, yes, but we will own the wreckage." And I think this is maybe an answer to my friends who don't want to be involved, who don't want to hear this information, who are creating a vacuum, my good conservative friends that need to get involved, and I'm sure you have some too.
Well, I think that I'm hoping that this new audio tape we have called The Brotherhood of Darkness, which tells about how China went communist and what happened to the people when they went communist, and the similarities between what happened then in China in 1949 and what's happening in America now, is one of the most gripping tapes. Have you ever heard the Reverend Millen tape?
No, I have not.
Well, I'm going to have to get you. I'll bring you one at the next Republican Central Committee meeting and try to get you to the point where you can copy it and pass it out, because we want people to get hold of this tape and to listen to it and get others to listen to it, because I think it's one of the most powerful weapons we have right now. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you haven't heard our tape, it's entitled The Devil's Heartbeat. You really need to, and you can, of course, get a single copy by calling our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And, of course, we hope that you're going to want to get a set of 10 of these and pass them out. And, of course, they're only $13.95 mailed to you anywhere across America. We're not making any money on it, but what we are trying to do is get the truth out across America. And I think that this is a weapon that will get many of your apathetic friends and Barbie's apathetic friends, if they'll listen to this and they are not moved by what they hear, write them off. They're beyond hope.
And may I share something else with you, I think is a little chunk of wisdom.
Go right ahead.
The world's greatest civilizations have progressed through this sequence, from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, and from dependency back again into bondage.
And of course, we are in the process of apathy,
right,
and dependency. And as I pointed out, everybody's getting a government check today almost, and those are not wish that they were. And, of course, any person willing to give up any bit of his individual liberty or freedom for security is entitled to neither liberty nor security, and will certainly lose both. And the whole idea of our America was that the federal government was never to be able to provide for the individual.
That's right.
Or to control the individual, and now we're allowing them to do both. And we're militarizing our national police, we're militarizing our local police, and we're headed towards a dictatorship. And people better wake up, because once that dictatorship is established, we will never, never, never regain our freedom.
Amen. And greater civilizations have fallen, Stan. Well, I don't think they're greater, but other people do. And that's sad to think that. I don't know why I'm so patriotic. I don't know why God gave me that gift, but that's what I consider, that it is a gift, and that it's a gift that can be taken away. Unfortunately, we can lose this wonderful country that we have, even though we do have problems. We're not perfect. I still believe in this form of government, and I believe in the Founding Fathers, and although, once again, we're not perfect, there's nothing that comes close to our type of government.
Yeah, I was reading an interesting statistic just the other day, and it pointed out that the confidence in government has dropped from 75% to 22%.
Oh, my.
And, of course, the problem is that it's not that our form of government is failing. It's simply that we've turned our back on our form of government. And the reason people are becoming disillusioned is not because the constitutional republic that we inherited from generations past has failed, but that we have circumvented it, or the kingmakers have circumvented it and violated
it,
the Constitution, and done an end run around that to centralize every more power with government that is becoming increasingly autocratic. And, of course, until people understand the foundations of our freedom, which rest in two basic beliefs. One, that freedom come from God and not from government. And two, that freedom can only come when we limit the power of government, because liberty and limited government are synonymous, and tyranny and total government are synonymous, until people can once again understand those two basic principles, that we were a republican form of government and never a democracy.
That's right.
And the people who wanted to teach us that we are a democratic form of government are the people who would establish a tyranny here in the United States.
Well, may I do a commercial for
our
California Eagle Forum?
Okay, fine.
That someone that I know is going to be speaking there.
Who's that?
You.
Okay. That's incidentally the 21st of March. And go ahead and give a good plug. Maybe the people want to stream down there. Probably it's going to be such a sellout, you won't be able to get airline reservations unless you get them right away. But go ahead.
Got some big names coming. We've got Dr. Stan Montes will be there on Saturday the 21st, and on March 20th we have Michael Reagan, who will be speaking as well. And it's going to be at Santa Barbara Radisson, which is a beautiful old hotel, and it's only 2 days, which makes it doable for people.
And is that Friday and Saturday or Saturday?
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, because I'm going to be back in Greenville, South Carolina, on Monday. So,
I
really want to come and spend the full 2 days with you. So I'm really looking forward to it. Am I speaking Saturday or Friday?
You're speaking on Saturday.
I see. All right, fine.
We'll have you on Saturday.
All right. What time is the program over?
Saturday after lunch.
Saturday after lunch. So I'll get home just about time to pack up and fly to Greenville.
And what are you doing in Greenville?
I'm giving two talks there on the 23rd and 24th. On the 25th, I'm scheduled to go to Washington, D.C. to do a television program. So we're going to be busy there for a short time.
And I just want to encourage people to come. Michael Reagan and Dr. Stan are both, of course your listeners know this, wonderful speakers. And I do want to say that I don't know if people know this about Michael Reagan, but he refuses to work on weekends because of his family. And so when Michael Reagan talks about family values, he's not just talking about them, he's living them. And that's why we had to start on a Friday night, because he refused to come on the weekend.
Okay.
And I'm really amazed with a man that would do that.
Well, I am too, and
small
I think
children.
He's certainly having an impact across America and reaching an awful lot of people, and we applaud him for his efforts. Certainly one of the leading talk show hosts across America.
And as long as we were talking about presidential candidates, men who would stand up with principle, have you heard that Gary Bauer is thinking about putting in a bid for president?
Wouldn't that be an interesting prospect? Gary is a brilliant, brilliant individual.
A friend of mine is a teacher at a Christian high school, and he announced at the last, was a Christian private school conference, that he was seeking the Lord, and he asked for those Christian teachers to pray if this was God's will for his life. So I want to encourage anyone else out there who is a praying person to pray for Gary Bauer, because he certainly is a man of principle and stands for family values.
I agree with that, and I would hope that he would give it serious consideration. Of course, no man stands a chance of getting the Republican nomination without grassroots support. That's really
what's
going to take. And I believe he's a very, very sincere individual. I don't know whether you've ever read my book, AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic,
sure.
But I tell about my opportunity to go to the White House and actually talk to Gary Bauer for about half an hour. And it was, I just had the feeling here was a man, a clear, concise mind, who really felt very deeply about what he was doing, was trying to do the best that he could in a difficult situation. And so I certainly would be excited if he were willing to take that plunge, because I can tell you it's a backbreaking, exhausting job. It just takes so much out of your family, out of your very existence. But we need somebody to rally behind.
Amen. And once again, I just want to give one more little plug for my local Eagle Forum.
We can tell people that they can certainly write you at Post Office Box
8
in Mount Hermon, California.
94-0051.
Right. And, of course, you can call here if you'd like to get Barbie's telephone number. How can people find out about this program that you're going to have down south?
They could just give me a call or do email, and we're getting out invitations in the next month, and I'd be happy to send one to anyone that's interested. I promise that there'll be many, many issues brought up, as Phyllis is known to do, where most people haven't even heard about it. She's usually at the forefront, as well as you are, too.
Now, are you anticipating that she's going to be there at the meeting?
We have not solidified that with her or not, but
okay,
we are hoping
for it. But you're sort of hoping she'll be there now?
Yes.
The other thing I wanted to ask, when does the program start? When on Friday?
I do not have that information for you, Dr. Stan, but as soon as I get it, I'll let you know.
So I can start making my reservations. Whereabouts is it going to be held?
It's at the Santa Barbara Radisson Hotel, which is a beautiful hotel right on the ocean.
Santa Barbara Radisson, I'm looking forward to it.
Amen.
Okay, fine. Well, thank you so very much for being with us, Barbie. It's been a fascinating time. You're not looking for a job as a radio talk show host, are you? You know, you'd really do quite well.
I'm the new Philomena Donahue.
Anyway, God love you. Thank you so very much for being our guest.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, Dr.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, that was Barbie Hall, and a fascinating 2 hours. And when you have somebody who is articulate as Barbie is, why, you certainly want to get as much information as you can. I thought that was a fascinating program. I'm surprised we didn't get more in the way of calls. Maybe it was you were so fascinated you didn't want to call in. But as Jim pointed out, this really is a spiritual battle. Pray for America. And understand that if you read Jeremiah 11:9, he talks about the conspiracy against God. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.